Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
All right. We are racing into the 4 o'clock hour, coming back a little late because Charlie Hoffman, PGA Tour professional, was nice enough to just give us a call as he's riding around listening to our interview with Michael Collins of ESPN. And I mean, I kind of feel like I'm up to date now on the golf situation, Tony.
Right?
And, you know, it's fun. It's always fun talking with Michael Collins. And, you know, he brings up, you know, some fair concerns. But I honestly, after hearing from Charlie Hoffman, I feel a lot better about this in the sense that, you know, the PGA is, they're not just messing around here. They're not just throwing these tournaments out there for the heck of it. They are understanding the how imperative it is that they return to play with success, because everyone's going to be watching the PGA Tour. I mean, June 11th, first, you know, I'm not even talking about the match play thing this weekend, but even more so the first tournament, the Colonial on June 11th through the 14th in Fort Worth. Everyone's going to tune in to watch that, or at least tune in to see how it turns out.
Right.
And, you know, Charlie Hoffman is 100% correct. I mean, if the PGA Tour doesn't have success, if they can't get back up and running, it's going to slow everybody else's, you know, slow everybody else's racing to a crawl.
I mean, you have to think, if out of all of the sports, probably the easiest to manage this would be golf, right? Because you can implement some of the stuff that's has been implemented in society, and talking about the social distancing, they kind of have that anyway in golf. So they, if they can't pull it off, you better believe that all the other sports are going to be slowed down, as you said.
Yeah, they're going to be at least pumping the brakes on everything. So anyway, that was great. But beside everything that he had to say, and he was, you know,
was
intelligent,
sweet,
and
man,
smart and funny, I love the fact that some guy in the PGA Tour is just driving around listening to our show. That was
right?
Cool. That part
I was
very
blown
cool.
away by that.
I like that. That was very cool. It happened every once in a while. You'll get a call. I remember one time, many, many years ago, during a night show, I got a call from Dick Vitale, and I thought, there's no way this is Dick Vitale. But it was. He was driving around L.A., and we were talking about basketball or something on the show, and he wanted to chime in on it. So it happens once in a while, but it's nice to know that, hey, look, the pros listen to Gwynn and Chris, right?
Yeah. Yeah, so we need to get that in a promo or something.
We got to get
the pros listen here on 97.3
right.
The Fan.
Charlie Hoffman, that was cool. I'm now by the way, Scraby, I'm now the number one Charlie Hoffman golf fan.
Put me on that list too.
In the league here.
I hate to say it, but I've been a Hoffman fan for years.
Yeah, well,
and years.
You know what? He's been struggling the last couple of years, so maybe you ought to just stop rooting for him.
Yeah,
and let
get
me
off.
Let me and Tony root for him.
Why?
Let
get
me and Tony root for him. That'll get him going again.
By the way, can I get that Greg's Anatomy back? Can we like redo that?
That was one of the best. That was one of the best moments of the show.
I said
for
it
sure.
With such confidence too. Greg's Anatomy.
Yeah, Greg's Anatomy. Nope. Don't Google that. It's something completely different.
Tremendous program. Hey, we didn't have time for Chris versus the Fans today, but we do have time to give away our $50 Panera Bread gift card. At Panera Bread, we're here for you with contactless delivery and new drive-up curbside ordering and pickup. You can order online at PaneraBread.com. Give you the phone number to call in, 833-288-0973. And we'll give you a quick trivia question. First person with the correct answer, this is an easy trivia question, at least I think it is to most people, if you're a golf fan for sure. Name the winner of last year's PGA Championship. Name the winner of last year's PGA Championship. 833-288-0973. First person who correctly calls in, names that player, you will win a $50 Panera Bread gift card. And that'll be our Chris versus the Fans prize giveaway today. So I know Scraby knows who it is, and I know Scraby doesn't like who it is. But that's just
Scraby.
Too bad, Scraby. That's too bad. We got to get back on track here. We got a lot to talk about. We definitely wanted to get into the NFL rule changes that are being proposed. We were going to talk about that last half hour, but Charlie Hoffman wants to call the show again. We'll talk to him, and we can postpone the rule changes even further. It's all right with me. But we're going to get into that a little bit. We got our Big Five coming up, and let's just kind of catch up and do all that, Scraby. Get back on beam here, and we'll take a little quick time out. You guys call in and win the Panera Bread Prize. Good luck on that. Trivia question. I'm Chris Ello. That's Tony Gwynn Jr., Gwynn and Chris. Happy to be with you on this Thursday right here on San Diego's number one sports talk station. We are 97.3 The Fan, and let's take a look at traffic with Kelly Danick.
I want to congratulate Tom. Came away with the prize today. I believe the answer was Chris Ello's favorite golfer. Well, now second favorite golfer.
Yeah, that's right. He's my second favorite golfer now. I mean, if he's coming down the stretch with Charlie Hoffman, I'm rooting for Charlie Hoffman to take it home. But, Scraby, why don't you answer the question, today's trivia, who was last year's PGA champion? And while you're at it, why don't you tell them who actually has won the last two PGA championships?
This is a setup.
Well, go ahead and fall into the setup then, bro.
Well, who is it?
It was Brooks Koepka.
Who? I didn't hear it.
Brooks Koepka. Fine, it was Brooks Koepka.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you very much. Yes,
two in a row he's won the PGA championship, huh?
Mama, there goes that man. Yeah. Somebody stop him. Yeah. He might win a
Mama,
third.
Mama, there goes that man. Well, Charlie Hoffman's going to stop him this year.
Yes, absolutely.
Charlie, go get him.
That was pretty cool. I still must say that having Charlie call in the middle of the show was pretty awesome.
I just wanted real quick before we get to our thing. Golfers are great guys, and this is in general. I mean, with every golfer I've ever had the luck to interview on one of these programs or just while I was a sports writer. And I mean, starting with Tiger Woods when he was 9 years old. But I mean, golfers are terrific. The problem that I've always kind of felt is that golfers aren't really available that often. It's very difficult to get a golfer on like one of our radio shows. You know, it's a lot easier to get an NBA player or a Major League Baseball player. You call the team that they play for, and you know, you set things up, and you work through a few machinations, and a lot of times it works out. You're able to get somebody. But golfers are kind of, because they're independent contractors, as it were, it's difficult to find a PGA golfer and get them on the radio program. And it's too bad, because every time we've ever had one on, Dennis Paulson's been on our shows many times, and he's just a terrific guy. And Charlie was fantastic. And every golfer I've ever interviewed, they all have great personalities. I think the PGA Tour's got to do a little better job of just helping as a group golfers do a little public relations, you know, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Wednesdays, having the ability to, you know, call the PGA Tour if you're a radio show and try to get some of these guys on, especially when they're coming to San Diego. You know,
I mean, if that they want, maybe the golfers like having the less tentacles connected to them, so
they can
enjoy their privacy. Because, by the way, does by you saying golfers are good dudes, what about the rest of us? Are the baseball, basketball, we're not so good dudes, or what?
No,
what is that?
Not really. No? Not in the same vein as golfers. but I will say this, Tony, you are better athletes than the golfers.
Well, at least we get something out of it.
Did I say that, Scraby? I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said that.
I didn't hear you.
Why would Scraby be offended? He should be.
Because he's a
fine.
Golfer. He thinks he's a great athlete because he's a golfer.
He thinks he's a golfer. You know, I wouldn't.
Yeah, he thinks he's a golfer.
No, I am a golfer.
Well, you have some. You have some clubs and you hit balls as I do, but I don't consider myself a golfer.
I might not make a bunch of money doing it, but I do it almost every weekend. In some capacity.
But you consider yourself to be a tremendous athlete.
I do, actually.
Yeah, I know you do.
That is right. That is right.
What are you looking forward to doing when California reopens? Use the hashtag MoveCaliforniaForward and visit radio.com/MoveCaliforniaForward for more information. Chris, could MLB expand in order to get through the coronavirus? This was an article that came out on CBS Sports talking about Major League Baseball expansion. I'll just read to you some of the excerpts out of the story. Truth be told, expansion has only a tiny bit to do with growing the game and a lot to do with big cash influx. Historically, the Marlins and Rockies exist in part because clubs had to pay their $280 million collusion settlement to the Major League Baseball Players Association prior to 1991 season. Former Commissioner Faye Vinson admitted as much in a 2005 interview with the Biz of Baseball. He said, look, each owner had a $10 million bill, and there were about 26 clubs before the expansion and 30 at the moment. Then $280 million. Let's say $10 million a club. They didn't have the money, so they did what most businesses would do. They sold stock. They sold interest in the clubs, in the expansion clubs. In my day, two of them, Miami and Denver, and the money, which was vital, paid off the collusion debt. Without it, I think baseball would have been had a serious time.
I see where you're going with this. Yeah.
Expanding to pay off debt. MLB has done it before. The league did it following the collusion settlement, and they could do it again after the pandemic. And the losses teams suffered in the collusion settlement pale in comparison to what they're facing during the shutdown. MLB has expanded to pay debt before, and there's little reason to think they won't do it again. Now, that was a story written in CBS Sports, and you think about the landscape and some of the monies that they're talking about losing, kind of makes some sense a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, we could have a 50-team league by the time this is all over.
Right.
I mean, I hope that it doesn't drag on any longer than, you know, it's already dragged on, and
right.
Hopefully they'll be able to get back to baseball sooner rather than later. But there's no question that owners are going to lose a lot of money. I had never thought of that at all. Back in 1993 when the Marlins and the Colorado Rockies came into existence.
Then again, I was just 12, so I probably wouldn't have been thinking along
those lines. You probably wouldn't have been thinking
lines.
Along those lines right. Anyway. But, yeah, I just thought, what a great thing, man. Major League Baseball is expanding, and that's great for these two markets. I never realized that, you know, because of the $280 million collusion settlement that the owners had to pay just a couple of years prior to that, they really needed an influx of money.
Go ahead. I was going to say, it also speaks to kind of the distrust that the two sides have here, or that the players have for the owners. That $280 million collusion case, I remember it. I remember my dad speaking about it.
Yeah.
But that's where a lot of the distrust kind of comes from, I believe.
Right, that the owners all got together in collusion and kept the players' free agent salaries down, and the courts ruled against the owners on that. So that was quite the settlement that they had to pay. But the way they chose to get the money, I never thought about it having to do with the Marlins and the Rockies. But you know that an expansion baseball franchise, that's money that is paid directly to the owners to join the league. So
now, one of those teams has had some success, right? They've been to a World Series. I mean, both of them. Shoot, one of the teams has won a couple World Series, but
the Marlins.
But
you almost forget that the Marlins won two World Series because they've been pathetic the other 25 years of their existence.
Right, but it goes to show you, and I think I've heard similar things about MLS. Right, that is a profitable thing to add teams. Mm-hmm. You wonder, if they were to, where would you put a team? Where would you put new teams?
Well, I mean, it's off the top of my head. I'm trying to think of, you know, cities, let's say, that are in the NFL that don't have
Carolina.
Baseball. Carolina was one that just came to my mind. I don't know about Jacksonville. I mean, Florida baseball's already kind of in trouble.
Yeah.
The Marlins and the Rays Tampa. Both struggle as it is. But
Montreal probably would be a spot.
Montreal
that they would
be
look
a
into
nice place to go back to. Yeah, I think they would love to do that. Or I know that there's many folks in Montreal that would love to see their team come back. And I don't know that baseball ownership would be looking at Montreal first.
Yeah.
But I think it would be something that would make some sense. But, I mean, there's plenty of big cities in this country that don't have baseball teams, plenty of them, and, you know, or have minor league or having thriving minor league teams. And expansion wouldn't be that difficult, if you ask me. I mean, it wouldn't be that hard.
It wouldn't be difficult, but based on how the game is right now, do they really? I mean, I know from a monetary standpoint it makes some sense, but from a competitive standpoint, does it make a lot of sense to add more teams to a league in which, you know, you're seeing a lot of numbers fall compared to where they used to be?
Well, I don't think the number of teams in a league really matter that much. I mean, to go from 30 to 32, in my mind, could change things dramatically in Major League Baseball. And the way it could change it the most is that you could set up a league much the way the NFL is set up, with four divisions, four in each league. And if you have that, then you could have four division champions. You could easier then put in a couple of wild cards the way that you – I mean, because they're talking about expanding the playoffs as it is.
Right.
So this way you could pare down the divisions a little bit. Four teams in each division. Every team would have a little better shot at winning their division, and then there'd be two or three wild cards, because I think the playoffs are going to expand in baseball. I think that they are going to expand this year on a trial basis, and I think that they're going to like it, and they're going to want to continue to do that. So
adding two more teams that look like Baltimore and Detroit doesn't scare you at all?
No, because I don't think that they would look like Baltimore and Detroit for the first couple of years, of course. But look, the Arizona Diamondbacks, 1998, came into play. In 2001, they were in the World Series. So
that's a good point.
Very long. The Colorado Rockies, I believe, made the playoffs in 1995, which was their third year of existence. They got in as a wild card in that shortened season. But the teams would be lousy the first year. But no, it doesn't bother me. I don't think Baltimore and Detroit are going to be awful forever. And just like, you know, Houston wasn't awful forever. Of course, we know why they weren't. But 30 teams, 32 teams. Now, if you're going to go ahead and expand it to like 56 teams, then yes, you're going to water down the product way too much and you're going to have a problem. And I think that, you know, I'll tell you one sport that I think did water itself down with too many teams was the National Hockey League.
I was getting ready to say that.
Yeah, the NHL, you know, did everything they could, you know, to make money for the owners, and it just started, you know, bringing in expansion team after expansion team. What happened in the NHL, and it's still true now, but, I mean, back when there was 16, you know, man, I don't know, 20, 25 teams, every team had three good lines on each roster. You know, the center, right wing, left wing, that's a line. So each team probably had two or three really good lines, and then the fourth line was kind of a defensive line. Nowadays, there's so many teams that most NHL teams only have one really dangerous line to score, and what happens is that you get a lot of kind of ragged play, I think, from the second, third, and fourth lines in comparison to what you used to, because the depth of the talent, it was not enough to keep up with the expansion of the league. So, you know, you can't expand by too many, but baseball could go two teams. I don't think it would be
more
a problem at all.
Well, certainly it's something that we all need to have in the back of our mind. We'll see how this thing unfolds and where baseball goes from here. All right, let's get to break. When we come back, could an MLB player go five rounds with a UFC fighter? One baseball player wants to see what he can do in the ring.
Chris, hello, Tony Gwynn Jr. Back at you, 4:37 the time. Gwynn and Chris program received a nice jolt today, courtesy of professional golfer out of Poway, Charlie Hoffman. Dialed us up a little while ago, get us ready for the return of the PGA Tour, and That was really great having him on the program along
with know how I didn't know Charlie was from Poway.
Oh, you didn't, huh?
I did not know that.
I
thought you knew all the Powegians.
I thought I did, too. Apparently, I need to step my game up because I did not know that.
Step your game up, yeah. Charlie Hoffman, Poway representing for sure. And that was really great of him to dial in on his own dime to join the program. We appreciated that very much. We're going to get to our Big Five here in just a couple of seconds. But before we do that, let's get a little check on traffic in Poway and other places with our Kelly Danik.
Got an overturned crash on the El Cajon Boulevard on-ramp to northbound 15. Also an accident on the La Jolla Village Drive on-ramp to southbound 5. And westbound side of the 78 past Woodman. We're getting reports of several vehicles involved in the crash, but that is mostly in the center divide. I'm Kelly Danik with Win and Chris, San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
It's now time to expand our horizons, step outside the box.
Who the hell are you guys?
And turn this show upside down.
No. Whatever it is, no.
Quinn and Chris will now talk about the best of the rest in the one, the only, the extraordinary. The Big Five, which starts now on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, everybody. Did you know that breaking news on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by the Dell Technology Small Business Podference? Go listen at radio.com/Dell. And if you want to suggest any topics, you can find me on Twitter at Matt Scraby, find Chris at ChristelloSD, and find Tony at Tony Gwynn Jr. It's time.
Number five.
For the Big Five. The Dolphins have been receiving a lot of phone calls about one of their three quarterbacks. And that's former UCLA Bruin Josh Rosen with this guy.
Tua Tagovailoa.
And Fitzmagic being in the mix, teams are looking into trading for Josh Rosen. No word on what team offer or what the price tag is. Chris, what is Josh Rosen? That's a really hard name to say, Josh Rosen. What is Josh Rosen worth to you on the trade market?
Josh Rosen, Josh Rosen, Josh Rosen, Josh Rosen, Josh Rosen.
Are you just trying to prove it wasn't tough?
He's trying to,
remember.
He's trying to remember it. Who he is.
Yeah. Former quarterback of the Dolphins, right?
Oh, no. He still plays for.
I'll just answer this as a fan. I know that we the Dolphins, traded a second-round draft choice to get Josh Rosen. So in a perfect world, they would be lucky enough to get a second-round draft choice in return for Josh Rosen, but I don't necessarily think he's worth that much right now. And I wouldn't offer him a whole lot because it seems to me the Dolphins are in a situation where they kind of need to get rid of him. So I'd like to see this kid get an opportunity one of these days. He didn't get a whole lot of a chance with the Dolphins.
He got like a half, and then they put it in Fitzmagic.
Well, yeah, the half he got, he was losing 49-0.
So that I don't think that was his fault. I don't.
That didn't help his cause any. The second game that he started against New England, he lost 43-0. So, yeah, he didn't perform all that well in the short time that the Dolphins gave him a chance. But, you know, in the right setting, I think Rosen could turn into something. Miami ought to take a look at, you know, giving him that opportunity, I think.
Tony, with Josh or with
Tua Tagovailoa
and Fitzmagic already being on the team, what is Josh Rosen's worth to you on the trade market?
It's not very high. I'd be reluctant to give up anything if I'm another team. I know I don't have to take him. I mean, yeah. Unless I'm desperate for a quarterback, like absolutely desperate. I can't think of any off the top of my head right now, unfortunately for him, where Josh Rosen would be at the top of someone's list. I mean, based on some of the free agents that are still out there, Cam Newton being one of them, I have a hard time seeing anybody give up anything when they can scrounge the free agent market and get something. Now, I would like to see Josh Rosen get a legitimate opportunity. I mean, I don't think in either of his stops, whether it be St. Louis, whether it
Arizona.
Be my... Excuse me, St. Louis, Arizona. Whether it be
the
Arizona...
Cardinals. I see what you did there.
whether it be the Cardinals of Arizona and or the Dolphins, he hasn't really got a legitimate chance. I would like to see what he can do with a legitimate chance.
I agree.
It is amazing. It is amazing how you go from number 10 pick in the draft, popping
everybody's
going
to remember me.
Right, popping off about how you're going to be the greatest pick ever ever taken to a guy that no one even thinks can complete a pass anymore.
Hmm. It's a long fall.
Long fall.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of sad if he doesn't get a chance to at least get. I mean, you have to give the guy. I don't know. You got to give the guy a season.
I can tell you, there is no team out there that feels like they got to give him a chance.
Yeah,
hopefully, he gets one though.
I know. I feel bad for guys like that, though, because they have the talent and they just were in bad situations. But
yeah, that's what goes into what people say. Is sometimes it's about where you're picked and who you go to.
Yeah.
Compared to, you know, in the organization that they have.
I mean, no one wants to play for the Dolphins anyway.
Number four.
Wow.
Maybe this guy does, but I doubt that the Dolphins are going to be signing this guy anytime soon. Former NFL MVP Cam Newton, as Tony just said, is still without a team. And a lot of experts think he is still on the market because teams aren't able to bring him in for a physical. Well, to try and get around this, Cam has been putting up videos of him working out on social media and throwing the ball. I just showed you guys some videos on the Zoom conference, and he looks pretty good in those videos. I mean, they're his videos, and they're very artistic videos, but they're good videos. Tony, what do these videos show you about Cam Newton?
That he can throw the football. I mean, honestly.
His
injury was an ankle injury. And that maybe
was it shoulder?
No, I believe it was ankle. We need to get some clarification.
Yes, I'll
on
do that.
That.
But, you answer.
I know he had a shoulder issue at one point, but I thought he had that cleaned up prior to the last season, and I thought this was ankle. But it could be a shoulder. Either way, I don't think it shows you a whole lot that other than that he can throw the football and that at least from looking at the video, he looks healthy. But you want your doctors being able to touch and move some things around, make sure there aren't anything hidden that would hamper you from signing him. So he just picked the wrong time to be a free agent, honestly. The pandemic popped up. Nobody can get in facilities, and that's kind of where we're at right now.
It was, according to Adam Schefter, it was his shoulder and foot.
Oh, so he had both. Okay.
Yeah, so they're concerned about both. Chris, what do these videos show you about Cam Newton?
He's got a crazy hairstyle.
He does. He always does.
He's got a really crazy hairstyle. You showed me a video of him completing a couple of passes.
I mean, I know.
For all I know, you know, he was out there for 4 hours, and it took him that long to complete two passes. And, you know, he put those two on the tape. Cam Newton needs to show me that he can run an obstacle course before I am interested in whether or not he can complete passes. I'm pretty sure that he's got an arm. He can still throw the football. But the mobility is the biggest question for Cam Newton, as Tony said, the foot, the ankle, whatever it is, because that's what made Cam Newton a dominating player.
That's right.
Was his
that's
athleticism. Right. I don't know that he was ever considered, Dan Marino when it came to, you know, his arm. I mean, he's got a good arm, but he's dangerous because of his athleticism. So if I was Cam Newton and I wanted to get everybody's attention, I'd put myself through an obstacle course and show everybody I can get that done. The arm part, I'm not really worried about.
Good answers, guys.
Number three.
It appears that Houston Astros star Carlos Correa may be interested in a different career path someday. During a recent MMA Junkie Q&A, Correa admitted that he would, quote-unquote, love to appear in the UFC fight. It would be me. I would love to cross over into the UFC. I grew up boxing, and I loved it, he said. But I realized, man, in baseball, you don't get hit as much. In boxing, I'm going to have to be constantly getting hit in the face and stomach and the ribs, and that hurts. I stuck to baseball, and it worked out well for me, but definitely I would love to try. Chris, how long would Carlos Correa last in the octagon with a professional fighter?
Oh, I don't know about that, but I know one thing. If he doesn't think he gets hit enough playing baseball, wait till he starts playing again.
That's very true. He's an
Astro. He's on the Houston Astros right now. He's going to get hit a lot. I have no idea because, I mean, you know, he has some training in it. But with a professional, probably not going to last too long. I mean, I'll let Tony have his favorite line on this, so I won't use it. But I will just say, I mean, anytime you've got a wannabe professional against a professional, there's usually a reason that the professional's in there. So I don't think he would last too long. Probably about as long as a MMA fighter would last against, you know, a 95-mile-an-hour fastball. Not long.
Tony, what do you think? How long do you think Carlos Correa could last in the octagon?
I give him a round. Give him one round.
Give him a round.
I think there's going to be a lot of running around in Carlos, that round.
Carlos is stupid athletic. Like, he's a good athlete, but hopping in a ring with a professional MMA fighter where there really aren't a whole bunch of rules, I'm gonna be on the side of the professional MMA guy. But I think he's athletic enough and seems to love UFC enough to at least get through a round.
I don't know. It seems like the guy could catch him, put him in one of those crazy hammerlock holds, and that'd be about it.
Do you remember when WWE star CM Punk turned to MMA? He didn't, but he's kind of a trained fighter a little bit. I mean, at some point in his life, he did fight. So
I will say,
and he didn't last long.
Look at my man, Greg Hardy. He went from the NFL, and I think he's lost one, and I think that was due to disqualification. He hasn't lost a fight. But, you know, football being a defensive end in terms of hand wars, there's some commonality to it for sure.
Number two.
Michigan Wolverines head coach Jim Harbaugh recently did an interview and said nothing makes him angrier than losing to Ohio State. And he must be really, really angry because he is 0-5 against them. And some of the former Ohio State players started taking to Twitter to taunt him a little bit. Not that he cares. But after returning to college coaching in 2015, the Wolverines have gone 47-18, have been ranked as high as number 2, but have only won one bowl game in the last 5 seasons. Tony, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, where would you rank Jim Harbaugh's coaching right now?
Well, considering he is employed by the University of Michigan, and the biggest deal there is beating Ohio State,
he's over.
I would say he can't have a grade of A minus or above. It's got to be. I give him a B minus.
So you're going to give him a.
So what'd you say? A 10, you said out of 1 out of 10. So yeah, I give him a 7. Okay. I give him seven and a half.
All right.
The record can't be just, you know, poo poo. That's a pretty good record. But ultimately, at Michigan, you had to beat Ohio State, and he has yet to do that. So he gets a 7.5 for me.
Chris, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the best, where would you rank Jim Harbaugh's coaching right now?
Right now.
Right now. Because we all know he was a great 49er coach. I mean, I miss him.
He was pretty good.
I miss
him. He also coached at University of San Diego.
And he coached at
Stanford. He was really good there.
Yeah, he was really good.
Really good there. He won every game by like 80 points.
Right, and then really good at Stanford, too.
Yeah, that's right. I think he's a good coach. I do. But 7.5, I can't go higher than that because of the 0-5 record against Ohio State. I don't even think Jim Harbaugh could go higher than that because of the 0-5 record against Ohio State. I mean, that's all that matters for those teams. You know, I mean, you can even go 0-10 and then beat Ohio State at the end of the season and you're going to be applauded. I mean, Brady Hoke was at Michigan and had very limited success against Ohio State as well. And that hastened his departure from Michigan. So, you know, Harbaugh's lucky he's winning all these other games because not winning bowl games and losing to Ohio State usually gets you fired at Michigan.
Yes, it does.
Number one.
We just finished The Last Dance, so naturally we need more, and we're going to get more because Tom Brady's journey to each of his 9 Super Bowls with the Patriots will be the subject of an ESPN series released next year titled The Man in the Arena, Tom Brady. The 9-episode series will include a look from Brady's perspective at the 6 NFL titles and 3 Super Bowl defeats he was a part of. And it's pretty rare to get inside Tom Brady's life and to see what's going on behind closed doors. And this is going to be produced by ESPN and 199 Productions, Brady's production company. Where have we
seen this? So this isn't a true, this where, isn't a where, true documentary
where,
either.
Where
not.
Have we seen this before?
Gee, I hope Horace Grant's not in this
in
one.
Gotham Chopra of Religion of Sports. Tom said, through the series, we're defining the key moments and challenges that were seemingly insurmountable, but through hard work and perseverance.
Did he just say insurmountable? There
yes.
was no, nothing insurmountable about what the Patriots were doing.
Well, I think that game against the Falcons was considered
okay,
insurmountable.
Okay, that's touche. Touche.
But through hard work and perseverance became career-defining triumphs in both victory and defeat. Tom Brady's in the news too much lately, and I've been putting him in the Big Five every day this week, so I can't complain, but Chris...
Stalker.
Yeah.
Stalking much.
Are you excited for this Tom Brady self mockumentary or so called documentary? I should say.
Whatever you're going to call it. Look, I would be hypocritical to say that I didn't want to watch it because I just got 10 episodes of like my all time favorite team winning championship after championship after championship. The Tom Brady documentary would be the complete opposite for me because I'd be getting my number one rival winning championship after championship after championship as a Dolphins fan to watch Tom Brady and the Patriots celebrate time after time after time. However, I do enjoy greatness and I do enjoy learning about greatness and what makes people great and what they do. So I think there'd be some fun and some value in watching that show. So I would probably tune in. Yes.
Tony, are you excited for this 9-part Tom Brady documentary?
First of all, Chris, there would have been nothing wrong with you not wanting to watch it for those very same reasons you just gave. Your favorite team is getting beat by them often. I would be okay with you saying, I'm not really interested. As for me, I'll watch it. It won't be appointment time television like MJ's was. Because... you got to remember, MJ's whole thing took the dynasty. That took place more than 20 years ago. So it was there's a sense of kind of reminiscing and going back to it that you know, things that you knew you probably forgot were going to be in there. I don't know that I have forgotten anything about Tom Brady. I feel like it's constantly in my face all the time because he's still playing.
Yeah.
So I'll watch it, but I won't be... it won't be like, oh, Sunday, here it comes. Tom Brady's show's coming on. No, I'll probably watch it when I get a chance. I'll put it on the DVR.
Did you guys ever see the Tom versus Time stuff on Facebook?
I did not.
Oh, wow. There's a lot in that. It showed his, like, family life, and there was a lot of controversy because he kissed his son on the lips. And then Julian Edelman caught him.
That's so horrible. He kissed his son on the lips.
It was a little weird because he goes, no, come back here, right here. On the list.
Clearly, Scraby, you didn't kiss your dad on the list.
How many sons do you have, Scraby?
27.
27.
And I won't kiss any of them on the lips.
Hey, we heard Ray Lewis say he still kisses his son
and
on
his
the lips.
His kids are in the audience going, no!
They're all like, you're messing up our game!
No! We don't kiss on the lips. But, yeah, if you guys want to go watch some Tom Brady stuff, I recommend watching that Tom versus Time on Facebook.
I agree with Tony, though, to the extent the historical perspective's not going to be there the same way as it was for The Last Dance.
Hold on real quick, Chris. Big Five brought to you by San Diego County Honda Dealers. Thank you.
Sweet Big Five today, put together by Mr. Scraby. We're going to take a timeout. I know one thing we owe everybody is a check on these new NFL rules because we've been kind of talking about it, but we haven't talked about it yet, so... get into that a little bit, reset the program, let you know what else is going on. Good first 2 hours in the books, two to go. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr., right here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.